from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Final hour, fist pump time on a hump day.
Hump day?
Hump day?
Try to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy. We got Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, Peyton and Rai Rai in the back. Some surprises, a morning show quiz to see if you all pass or fail at 9:20. Crosstalk with KMC at 9:40. But tonight is night one of the NBA draft. The decision. Man, trying to copycat the National Football League, going to end up getting you smashed right in the face as you have night two of an event that not a lot of people care about whatsoever. Bad decision, Adam Silver.
Dang, sure.
You're not even going to have a... How much do you think the league is praying? Please do not let somebody take Bronny at the back end of the first.
Praying.
Let people... Please let Bronny be something for them to sit around and watch night two for.
What do you think his over-under is right now from Vegas... on being picked?
54 and a half.
No, but I like that you said that with a lot of confidence. 41 and a half. 41 and a half. Would you take the over?
I would take the over.
Right?
I think he goes to the Lakers. And I think they've kind of made it. So I guess.
Oh, here comes the rigged. It's going to be rigged.
Where's Phoenix picking? Do they have the 42nd pick in the draft?
So here are the odds. Bronny James drafted second round is 1-2. So that's the favorite at -200. First round, 2-1. Not drafted, 3-1. Team to draft Bronny. The Lakers are even money. The Suns are 5-1. The Mavs, Wolves, and Raptors are all tied at 9-1.
So you said 41 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Philadelphia picks at 41, Charlotte at 42. I don't see either one of those teams. I'm taking the over, hard over on that one.
Where's Phoenix?
I'm looking.
In the second round. Because I wonder if that's just trade-up possibility, that they're thinking somebody tries to jump.
No, I'm personally hoping that Bronny goes on day two to give me any type of reason to tune in.
They don't have a second-round pick. They lost it due to a penalty, so they pick at 22. That's it.
Oh, so then it's the middle ground of the back end of the second and Phoenix at 22, probably.
Yeah. Well, the Phoenix Suns were trending last night because Woj came out with two bombs. The first is that Mikal Bridges gets traded from the Nets to the Knicks for 4 unprotected first-round picks. 4 unprotected first-round picks. Is this the missing piece for the New York Knicks to put them over the top?
I mean, if you believe in chemistry and continuing to build on that sort of, if you like, hey, it's about the team and it's about cohesion, that's a team that showed they obviously won at the college level. And then when they've gotten up to the NBA as individuals, they've had a lot of success.
Yeah, none of those guys individually, except for Brunson, are like elite, elite, elite players, right? And Brunson may not even be elite, elite, elite. He's just tremendous. But you put them together, they seem to have something. Is this an over-the-top? Like, they're not better than Boston today.
No.
But I think they're clearly better than, like, Indiana now.
Duh.
Which, even though they lost to them, they did have, they were basically a broken team at the end.
But New York and Philly.
Oh, New York. I think they're better. I think they're clearly the second best team in the East.
Better than Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's the interesting thing because they didn't play well together last year.
Right.
You know, him and Dame. I don't expect that to be the case again, but the Knicks now are a Celtics like build to where they've got a lot of guys that could be. They're just so deep. It's not two stars and then filling your roster out with other players. They've got legitimate quality NBA players up and down that roster.
The Knicks now have the fifth shortest odds in Vegas of winning it all, tied with the Milwaukee Bucks and Dallas Mavericks. So Knicks, Bucks, Mavs. And then KD to Houston started trending.
Oh, and I was just now, I knew you were coming back to this, so I was Twitter searching. I was going to pull up the tweet and have it ready, and Woj was on one again this morning. So last night, Woj reports on
By the way, is he kicking Shams' ass right now?
Not based on his inconsistencies, which you're going to hear more about here in just a second. Last night, he had, what time was that? 10:15 or something? He tweets how Houston has acquired a couple of first-round draft picks, and that the plan is now they have these four first-round draft picks in their pocket that they want to use that to pursue Kevin Durant. They would like to acquire Kevin Durant. And everybody freaks out. And 4 minutes later, Woj completely does an about-face and goes, the Rockets are focused on other things. They're not looking to use these draft picks on Kevin Durant. That's not happening. And it's just like, it was almost like he was disputing somebody else's report.
Yeah.
So somebody must have gotten in his ear in the course of 3 minutes from Houston, changed it. But he apparently went on ESPN this morning and was asked about this Houston trade and what's going on. And he said, Houston's a team now, whether it's a Kevin Durant or maybe, I think even more so, the younger Devin Booker, whose timeline fits. He's talking now about how Houston could be targeting Devin Booker over the course of the next year or so with these draft picks. Doesn't sound like either of these, Durant or Booker, would be something imminent right now, but that they want to take this capital, stash it up, and make an acquisition for one of those two.
I'm pretty floored by Houston. Like, they're kind of in that no man's land. They've got some win now pieces, but they're still so far away. You know, does Kevin Durant or Devin Booker make them a contender? And no, they need two of them, right? They need Durant and somebody else to be a true title contender.
I mean, they're young though, yeah. And they finished the season. They were finishing pretty strong last year.
They got that big that Bassick loves, Jalen Green, averaging 19. Van Vliet, Dylan Brooks are your win now pieces, veterans. So they're like, look, man, we had six people average double figures last year. Let's throw an absolute superstar into that mix.
I mean, yeah, think about, like, they are trying to build something similar in terms of a youth movement, a lot of talent. They're like a few steps behind Oklahoma City, I think. They're a few steps behind where Oklahoma City was, where you've got Jabari Smith, Jalen Green, Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore. Like, those guys are all 21 and younger, and they're already pretty good. That's four really good core young players that you've got at your disposal.
Dallas Mavericks have one pick. And it's the last pick in the draft at number 58.
Bring on Satnam Singh, baby.
By the way, Grant Afsith reporting Luka will play in Slovenia's exhibition game against Brazil on Friday. Slovenia's final roster has not been finalized yet, so his participation in the pre-Olympic qualifying tournament is not confirmed, but he will play Friday against Brazil.
Now, who are the Mavs projected to pick with the 58th pick?
I don't know or care.
Okay. Guard for Trenton Flowers from Adelaide in Australia.
I'll care after they take him.
That's the Australia kid.
Bobby set us up on why they're in a good position.
Yeah, which is a little, I don't know, that seems a little bit of fluff here, but ESPN held their annual NBA draft conference call. Pretty much all sports do this leading into a draft. They tell beat writers, hey, call in. We've got our experts available for an hour. Ask them as many questions from your beat as you want, and they'll give you some insight into your team. And so the Dallas Morning News wrote about the questions that were asked of Bobby Marks and Jeremy Wu about the Dallas Mavericks and the draft position that they're in. So Jeremy Wu says the Mavericks are kind of in a unique position holding the final pick of the draft where they might not be looking to target the best player left on the board for them when they get to pick 58. That because when you get to the undrafted free agent section, you start getting into guaranteeing contracts, and it basically becomes more desirable for the player that you pick when you sign them at you know, an undrafted free agency once you get that late in the draft. So he says pick 58 a lot of times is going to be just somebody you want a project player that you want to stash. But Bobby Marks had said he really likes the position that they're in. He thinks they're in a good spot because their roster's pretty solid. They'll have a chance to be active in the undrafted free agent period there, and picking somebody at 58, they can get a good project player. Choppy just mentioned it. Trenton Flowers is who Wu has mocked there from Australia. He's 19 years old, guard forward. Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer called him, or described him as a potential walking bucket thanks to his size, fluidity, and athleticism. He could become a multi-positional defender if his fundamentals and strength improve. He compares him to KOC. He compares him to Kelly Oubre. That's the guy that he thinks that he's most like. But I was curious, like, who has gone around pick 58 generally in recent years? Are you getting somebody who there's zero chance that they're going to play in the NBA? So if you just look over the last decade, the last 10 drafts, 7 of the 10 players picked number 58 overall have ended up playing in an NBA game. So it's not just a Satnam Singh type of situation necessarily at 58. Half of those 10 have actually started a game. So not just got in one, but they were eventually put into the starting lineup for a team. And if you want to talk about who are the best case scenarios, you've got two players in the last 4 years that have played consistently, having been picked 58. So former Texas big man Jericho Sims was picked at 58 by the Knicks in 2021. He's played at least half of their games in each of his first 3 seasons. He gets 14 minutes a game over the course of his career. He actually started at least 11 games or more each of the last 2 years, and that's while New York's been a playoff team. And so Jericho Sims has been somebody who's been good enough to enter the rotation pretty quick into his career as being pick 58. That was somebody who stayed at Texas until his junior year, so a little bit older. But the best case scenario probably.
I love the name.
It's a great name, Jericho. Yeah. The best case scenario.
Ayatollah.
The Ayatollah of
rock and roller. This could be blocking. Pick and roll. Pick and roll.
Perfect.
The Ayatollah of pick and roller.
There's no chance Boomer Esiason's already come up with that in New York. The other example and the much more prominent contributor, if you're looking for best case scenario in recent history, is Paul Reed at the Sixers. So
Paul Reed.
He was drafted out of DePaul in 2020, and they have steadily increased his playing time over the course of 4 seasons. Last year, he played all 82 games for Philadelphia. He started in 24 of them. He's somebody who has been a legitimate rotational player for Philadelphia, almost not his rookie year, but pretty quick out of the gate. So if you're looking for some recent examples, those are the two. By the way, fun fact, Kevin O'Connor's list of the top 70 players in the NBA or in the NBA draft, you scroll down to number 58. Who do you think it is?
Bronny
James. He will not go at pick 58, no. But it's right there. It's right in that sweet spot.
But you know how fascinated I've been. I'm not buying Rich Paul at all. Going and trying. All right, what do you buy more? That LeBron did not get involved in the Redick or Dan Hurley hire?
No.
Or that he isn't hell-bent on playing with Bronny?
That he isn't hell-bent on playing with Bronny, I buy more.
You buy more that he's not?
Yes.
Okay.
That I still think it's unlikely, but if you're telling me which of those two, I think it's a slam dunk. We know he contacted Hurley. I assume he talked to Redick. I could at least reason with myself that he goes, I don't want to put any more pressure on Bronny.
What percentage chance, go ahead and answer that and the follow-up, what percentage chance do you put that LeBron is tying in his next team with where Bronny gets taken?
I think I've absolutely had input and discussions with Redick and Hurley, so I think that's the lock. I don't think he has to play with Bronny, but, I mean, it would not surprise, like, I think that the tie-in, because he's going to sign a 3-year extension. Is he going to play at 43 with the late, you know, he's going to, at 44 years old, is he going to go play with Bronny? I don't know if he's still going to do that. So I do think he's kind of said, we'll just let it happen. If it happens, it happens.
Okay. How much pressure is he putting on the Lakers to take Bronny early?
At 17?
Are they at 17?
They're at 17.
What explosion will happen in the sports world if Bronny James gets announced at 17?
I think if Bronny gets announced at 17.
Oh, my Lord.
I think LeBron loses the locker room.
If Bronny gets picked at 17, J.J. Redick doesn't have to worry about those questions tonight.
Yeah, and I want the FU move. I want the other team that sticks it to LeBron and the Lakers.
Who does he hate the most?
Who?
LeBron.
Who does he hate the most?
What if it's Riley? What if Riley drafts him?
I don't know, Golden State.
What if Riley?
The Clippers.
He loves Steph.
He loves that.
The Clippers grab him, and he's playing in the same arena.
What if Pat Riley just says, what were they picking?
This is, it's I do wonder how much Bronny's issue at USC, where he had the heart issue, I do wonder how much that may have changed LeBron's perspective.
And then the story surrounding the Lakers right now.
Oh, Miami picks a 43.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Maybe that's why it's 41 and a half.
Please do it.
Halima Nash, someone who worked with the Duke University basketball team when J.J. Redick was there, tweeted this the other day. I've only been called the N-word to my face by a white man once in my life. It was on the campus of Duke while I was doing work with the basketball team, and today he was named the head coach of the Lakers. What a world. And that is saying that J.J. Redick called her the N-word back in college. TMZ reached out to Redick's camp. They deny the allegations, saying, no, it never happened. So how big does this become? And I thought JJ had to address it. If it's coming from just a random person, no. But she worked with the team. He had to address it, and his camp has already shut it down.
It's going to be really tough, I think, for this to live anymore past this week, especially if he's going to stand up in front of a microphone again and talk about it. There's nothing out there that is, unless you get people who start coming forward and saying, I was there, I saw, and you start getting other verifiable people talking about it. If it's just, she says this,
or
JJ,
he said it to me as well.
Mm. Yeah, if you get those sort of things, if it's just JJ and her, ultimately this disappears.
Can you pass the morning show quiz? That and a few surprises on Sean and RJ next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, this is going to be part one of Bye Rye, and that is Ryan, our video guy. Last show on Friday, taking a television job in Odessa, Texas.
Well,
and so we'll say like our final goodbye on Friday, but Bobby is going to be out for a while after today's show. So God. I asked him to come up with some questions, a morning show pop quiz, in order for him to send Ryan off. Because it'll be the last show that they do together until Ryan hopefully fails miserably at his TV job and has to come back here
Crawling.
Prodigal son like.
That's
crawling
right.
Back. Okay. He's leaving us with Carter.
So while we get set for that, you guys make some small talk because I have to go get something.
Uh-oh.
As I'm going to kick out some morning show surprises. So I'll be gone for about 40 seconds. So get Ryan radio prepared so he doesn't sound boring on air.
Yeah, for sure. And Ryan,
are you nervous?
I am.
Why are you nervous?
Waking.
What makes you nervous?
What makes me nervous?
About this.
I don't know. I'm afraid I'm gonna curse or something.
You don't strike me as a foul mouth typically.
This is
not in the question list, but you hear me walk into those breaks and stuff like that. How often would you say I say things in there with Peyton that if a microphone was open on the air, I would definitely be fired?
Fire. 90% of the time.
90% of the things I say during a commercial break, Ryan speculates.
Not even just say and do, like physically.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you are a walking harassment case. You really, right, Bobby really exactly. Is.
We're going to go in order from least to most important. First off, Bobby, turn around. This is your belated birthday gift. And more importantly, your breakfast gift because of the hundreds and hundreds of dollars that you've spent on us. I went and tried to get the bottle. It was more of a personal mission copy. He said, I wouldn't be able to find this bottle. Ooh, get it.
Holy cow. That is impressive.
Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
It's High West, a Midwinter Night Dram. It's so good. This is like $45 a shot, the one bar where I know I can get it. Mm-hmm. And so that is fantastic. Yeah, I got a, what's the other one here? I'm going to open the, did you actually wrap this, Sean? Very
no,
impressed.
I did not wrap it.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, I would have given RJ like maybe one of the bottles, but RJ, he doesn't buy me breakfast. Ooh. And he gets bonuses.
It's some Belfour. There's some Belfour in there.
Okay.
This is good stuff. Thank you, Sean. This Welcome. Will all be gone by next week, but probably when I return.
Yeah, but it's because you don't know how to drink it. You just shoot it. It's too. Let me see.
All right, that's right. All right. While RJ is looking at it, I'm also going to send over bonus money.
Oh, Venmo, huh?
To Peyton Russell, as well as Ryan.
Wow. Thank
so
you.
I've not hit my second. We have not hit our second quarter numbers yet, but because of the Tolos, I do anticipate we will be getting it. We're crushing in terms of the ratings. So, Pepe, Ryan, well done. You guys are part of it. So I'm Venmoing you over the money right now. So there you go.
How much did you deduct from Peyton's after the like 7 a.m. hour?
I should have deducted $100 because he was definitely a little bit snippy. And I think this could be the first video guy of all time to get a bonus from the morning show. But
from any of the shows.
I should have probably waited until this pop quiz.
Oh, yeah.
Because I do want you to answer it honestly. So,
okay.
Sending you guys over the bonus money. And, Bobby, there's the bottle that you've been looking for. What do you think, Chop?
This is the winner.
Ooh, it's cask strength, too.
This is the winner of what's in here.
Really?
Clyde May. Absolutely. This is like the...
Is that more expensive than his dram?
It
can't be.
I don't think it's more expensive. It's like... this because the best bourbons... are not necessarily the most expensive. Like scotches are, but like the bourbons that win all like these taste tests, the one that everybody loves to get the most is called Eagle Rare. That's like $40 a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, it's just, you know, because it's the taste structure. This is great. You're going to love this one, Clyde Mays.
I'll be doing reviews, like Instagram reviews like Choppy does. I'll have to do each one of them there. All right, so would you like me to just go down the list here in order of the way that I had put them in the email, Sean?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were really good questions. And yeah, we had an email
you were in the
about
prep.
You.
Okay.
You were in the prep today.
You were in the prep.
Yeah. All right. So, Ryan, first question here. Make sure to bring that mic up to you a little bit. If your replacement, whoever your replacement is, if your replacement Carter. Asked you for a summary of what they're getting themselves into by joining Sean and RJ, what would you say?
A summary of what they're getting into. What they're getting into, like, to hear or to work with?
Like the work environment.
We know they're going to hear greatness. Duh.
Hear greatness. Okay. Well, first of all, you're going to constantly be getting visits from Bobby in the control room of the studio with Peyton.
Yes.
And you kind of just have to sign in your head like an NDA just to not disclose all that. You'll get plenty of tilt down, pan up, zoom in from Sean.
I don't direct you.
Wow.
We get plenty of that.
These are
that's
the guys.
Okay. That's the job. That's the job.
These are the guys. Oh, I guess I do.
For like when Choppy's dancing or something like that.
If we're zooming in on like RJ's, you know, fungus toe or something like that.
Yep. Just be ready.
That's yeah, that's good. Be ready.
What is it? Stay ready so you don't have to get ready or whatever the line is. All right.
Failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
How much, specifically earlier at 7 a.m., how much crap does Peyton talk about us when he cuts off his mic? Or do you hear him, not even direct towards you, but you hear him mumble like jerks?
Okay, well, on what level? Are you talking about the level that you recorded? Like when he was upset about the cuts? That level?
No, just like any, like
anything.
Just grumbling
about us. Like
this
morning after I like grilled him a little bit, will he like mumble something under his breath?
No, but I will say that like me and him like, go back and forth like one, like his mic is off, like when y'all are saying something, like we'll do the same, like oh well, or like oh, you know, something like that, like even back there.
Okay.
Or like, yeah, so we'll do our own, like that own little thing. So that's the most of it, but yeah, there'll be times where,
but it's heavy size.
Sure,
is it more towards me, Bobby, or RJ where he'll say something that we can't hear?
I don't think I've heard one from RJ, I've really ever like that much, Bobby. Cool. I don't know. They just go back and they talk to each other. Yeah. But like, I don't know. I think it's myth. I would say if I had to pick a person, it'd be Bobby.
Okay. Like, I'll say one thing real quick. Ryan has caught on to the checking out thing. So, you know, you guys, you know, will say, mm-hmm. Peyton messed up, checking out.
6:55 on Thursday. Yeah.
Anytime, you know, there's a slight stumble in a word that y'all say, you could just be talking a segment. Ryan will throw in there. Oh, checking out.
Oh, John's checking out.
Smarmy. All right. Who are you most likely to still talk to after you leave?
Oh, God. Oh, that's a good one.
Okay. Well, I admittedly don't talk to really anyone outside of here. I think...
Although you've been to two functions.
Yeah.
Two social functions that we've had.
I think I...
Which is more than Troy.
I think I interact the most... And this is, again, that's not that much, but like I'll reply to like Alex stories or something, and I'll go back and forth with him.
So Alex, this show.
Maybe. Yeah, this show. Yes. I thought you said the station.
Really,
oh,
no.
Here. Sorry.
I don't care about that.
I misread.
no one.
I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe RJ, just because, well, I mean, if I'm moving to Midland, Odessa, I guess that this wouldn't be the case, but just like since we're both in Fort Worth, maybe.
RJ texts you like the most now?
Almost. No, I'm just like...
Yeah, I'm imagining RJ hear from the least.
We share the elevators the most.
That's true.
We share
that's
the elevator ride.
Yeah, but you're leaving. He's leaving. So but, after yeah, this, yeah, we'll really keep up with
the
most.
You lose the elevator, exactly.
Oh, yeah, we're going to lose the elevator.
All right, so no random text with Peyton.
I think, no, probably not. But like with, like, I feel like I would expect something from you, Sean, like, oh God, this is hitting.
This guy's awful.
Yeah.
This new guy's awful.
I feel like I might hear something from there.
Maybe
I'll check in with Peyton. I'll just be like, are you still checked in or something?
Okay.
And I'll listen.
All right.
Do you
better be Monday through Wednesday.
Have you set the building on fire yet?
Do you have a favorite user on the Twitch? The Twellos are listening. There's got to be one that you like a little bit, like think they're funny or whatever.
I don't know. I mean, like, I think Andy's the one that I go back and forth with the most, okay. Or I keep wanting to call him Mike, but it's not Mike. It's something else.
Mike Cowboys?
Oh, then it is. Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Cowboys.
What am I most unaware of what's said on the Twitch? Like the top two or three things like you told me at my house.
Like what exactly they're saying?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, they haven't done it in a while, and probably me saying this, they'll start saying it again, but they like to call you Cat Paws.
Okay.
And that was something that that surprised me a lot. I thought that was hilarious, but they stopped doing it.
Okay.
Now they call you like, what is it? It's like Shanice or something like that.
Why?
Or Shania. That's what they call you. They call you Shania.
Shania?
Why?
I don't know.
When they think you're whining. You're being shoddy.
Or TMZ Sean or something like TM Shania. Sean.
TM Sean.
Yeah, or something like, or TM Sharif or something like that.
Like trying to do like hype stuff like for clicks and
like
stuff.
No, just doing like entertainment stories instead of sports.
Like, oh, he's like that. Talking about Affleck or something. I don't know.
Ben Affleck. All right, we're talking to Ryan here. It is he finishes up this week, and this is my last day here, so we're just doing a couple of questions with him. You've said
your last day.
My last
he's
day before I go to
Odessa
vacation. I'm not leaving. Yeah, I'm going to Odessa. I've got a vouch for him to the cartel.
Exactly.
All right, Ryan, you've said you're not a sports fan. Has working at the Fan made you any more interested in sports?
No. Really. I
mean, you had a Rangers World Series title.
Mavs run.
Mavs finals.
And he's just like,
oh, number one stars.
I will say, I'll definitely be watching more like the games. Like, I like watching the games, but outside of probably, I'll listen to y'all, like, I'll check in with y'all, but like outside of that, I'm probably not going to keep up with it. I'll watch the games. I'll watch the Cowboy games. I'll watch the rain. I'll watch that stuff, but outside of that.
I was just about to add that question. I was curious, like, okay, are you going to listen to our show anymore? But he said yes, so that's good. All right, what topics or segments on the show do you find yourself getting bored listening to?
Oh wow.
That's
good.
Say Caitlin Clark.
No. I don't know. I mean, I like Ask Reddit a lot.
The great Bobby Belt.
Exactly. That's it.
Like, if you were the program director, what segment would you get rid of? You're like, this isn't good.
I don't, I wouldn't get rid of any segment, Sean.
Venmo can be recalled. No.
Yeah.
Would you say that any of our personalities are different off the air?
No.
Same people on and off the air?
I would say Sean's more aggressive on air. Like, you don't show like you're more, I'm not like
combative.
Yeah, like you don't really show that more. You're a lot more aggressive, and that's why the Twitch doesn't like you.
Some don't, Ryan.
But I mean, that's the thing. I mean, like, I guess some people don't understand your humor a lot. Like, they don't understand that kind of humor, and I understood that humor. I appreciate that humor, but some people do, some people don't.
All right, we'll run through these last ones really quickly. All time favorite show moment from your time working here.
Oh God. Okay. So this was, I had a, 2021, 2022, Carter had asked me to save funny clips. That's because he wanted to put together a montage. And there was, so I was doing that constantly, and I was going back and watching some of them. And there was one where RJ, you were talking about your son's always twerking on you. And then you did it. That was probably the funniest thing. And I still go back to watch it because it is so hilarious. And again, it's another one of you, RJ, when you said that you had dropped a barbell on your toe.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I did. Yeah. It was great. That was a great funny time.
It was really
one of my favorite moments of all life.
Slapstick chop stuff. Can you remember a time for each one of us where we kind of pissed you off? Whether we said something on the air that you're totally disagree with that, or you thought we were being smarmy or made a joke.
No, I don't think y'all have ever actively gotten me mad. I don't think I've ever actually gotten mad at
Did you
any
think
of
you were going to survive here when you used to sleep in late starting off early on?
No. I thought the first time I got called into I thought I was going to get fired after the first two or three times.
When you were late, yeah.
Whose takes then on non-sports stuff? Whose takes do you find yourself disagreeing with the most? Like when we're talking about Ask Reddit or society or whatever. So where you're don't think I get with that.
I don't know. It might be you, Bobby. I don't know. I think so. But Matt, it's pretty hit
makes
or miss.
Sense. And last one, is there anything, because we know there is there anything you've really wanted to say to or about Carter that you'd like to get off your chest right now? He's in the car. Actually, no. He gets in here at 10:30. He'll be getting in the car.
He turned his mic off. The final well goodbye. Done. We'll do Bye Rye Part 2 on Friday.
By the way, Sean. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Good job.
Yes, thank you, Sean.
Y'all earned it. Y'all earned it.
Thank you, Sean.
Let's crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece next. Crosstalk with the K and C Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Corey Majors. What's coming up?
Bruce Bochy will join us at 10:20 today. So everybody set your calendars or clocks. 10:20 today. Okay. And then at 11:20, I'm really looking forward to this. How a current Brewers player led us down the rabbit hole to a showgirl shooting and perhaps the most well-known home run in baseball history.
The story's amazing.
That's a hell of a title.
Brewers player.
Yes.
A showgirl shooting?
Shooting. Yes.
And the most famous home run
in baseball history.
Okay, well, Mike's one part of it. What's the rest?
Yeah.
Nope.
Exactly. We'll see where we go from there.
You have Choppy's interest. Pete.
11:20, my friend.
Brewers player.
All right. How prepared are you? How much do you know these guys being taken tonight and tomorrow?
Well, a pretty decent amount.
Really?
Yeah.
Watch tape on all of them.
Because I like college basketball and I'm a nerd.
Okay. Who would you take one?
I would probably go Reisiker number one, but I realize there's been a lot of momentum for Sarr. And then obviously watch out for pick number three. If they go Klingon from Utah, Star Trek. Not Klingon. Yeah. Oh. If Houston's going to try to make a trade for Durant, so I'm kind of interested to see how that goes. And if they take the kid from UConn, then maybe they'll deal Sengun. Not sure about that, but that's something to kind of watch.
Is this the worst possible year for them to debut the 2-round telecast?
No. Actually, I think Corey's right because of Bronny. That's the weird thing, right? And plus, did you see it's running tomorrow at 3 p.m.?
No.
So yeah, it's in the middle of the afternoon. So it's what? They're not going prime time with this thing
because no network would give up that airtime.
Agreed. People don't like out of the top 10 picks. You might know like two of them. So this is a terrible name draft. But Corey's right. People will probably tune into the second round to see if and when I'm sure he'll get taken. Bronny goes.
The most anonymous or worst number one pick since. Who?
Anthony Bennett. And I will argue hard that Anthony Bennett is the worst number one pick in the history of the NBA draft. Because I know people like to throw out, you know, I don't know if you want to go Kwame or Olowokandi. They look like effing Bill Russell compared to what Anthony Bennett did in his career. Remember how soft that draft was? And people thought he was going to go 6. And then he went 1, and people were like, the hell? And then within like 2 years, he was out of the league, and he averaged 4 points. He was terrible. But that draft did still have Giannis.
What's the worst ever, like, overall draft, though? Is it that one, too?
One's 2000? Tough because, yeah, because you still got Giannis and Gobert out of that one. I'd have to go back and look. Is 2000 the Sharif Abdul-Rahim draft?
It was Kenyon Martin went 1. And
that
then,
was 2000 with Martin.
Yeah, and then, like, Stromile Swift, Darius Miles, Marcus Fizer, Mike Miller, DeMar Johnson, Chris Mim.
Oh, that is.
I mean, Jamal Crawford in there.
Yeah,
Jamal McGlure.
Best player in that whole draft was Michael Redd. That was in the 40s.
Okay, well then, yes, that one is worse than 13.
All right, so this obviously does not apply to you, Kevin, because you're still interested. But around the room with the sporting event that has lost the most luster for you over the years.
And can I just point out, I 100% understand your perspective about the NBA draft being that sporting event. I totally get that.
And what do you think went wrong with it?
I mean, you didn't learn any of the names anymore, right? Because think about it.
Is it the colleges?
Yeah, it's the college.
The one and done. So basically the foreigners.
It's
they gathered too gathered, many. They gathered the foreigners.
Like North Texas tennis.
Yeah. Not was that Peyton who said that?
Peyton, don't hate Peyton. Okay.
It's true, but
jeez. No, but I would also say, like, you know, whether it's Reed Shepard or Klingon or whoever else, you don't really know these people from college, even though they played at like big colleges because they were there for 5 seconds.
And the problem too, for draft purposes with that UConn team, they were all like mid-tier producers.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have...
Right. So you didn't think Stephon Castle was like, oh, he's the best.
Right. Yeah.
It was
all like... It was like perfect team.
And for a lot of the UConn revamped a lot of their team. Right? So it's not like all those guys were there for both years that are on that UConn team where they won the back-to-backs.
You guys, you'll be infuriated with my answer. I'm sorry. I just don't care. It's the Masters. I just don't.
Did you ever care,
care.
Though?
Nope.
Okay, well then you're not answering count. The question.
Oh, so it has to be something I used to care
lost
about?
Lost the luster.
Home run derby. It's the home run derby.
Heard right here on 105.3 The Fan.
You might get mad about that look. I get it. It just doesn't need to be 74 hours long.
I agree with you.
It's shorter now.
Is it though?
Yes.
You think it's shorter, but it's still like 2:45.
Did you think removing Chris Berman would solve it for you?
Not necessarily.
Did it help or hurt?
I don't. Back. Can I say neutral? Because I did like the back. And I think the timing idea is good.
And he was halfway through a bottle of tequila. You know,
that did help. That it's way
ripping
too
six
long.
There in the back. Berman.
What's your event?
Dunk contest. There was a time and 3-point contest. I was a big fan of those, and it did lose its luster along the way. It just has for some reason.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line.
And the NFL Pro Bowl.
Well, any All-Star game. Oh, not,
I used to care about the Pro Bowl.
I cared a lot about. Didn't they do like a bunch of activities beforehand? Like they do some. They'd see who the fast guy was and strong guys and stuff like that, and that was fun. And they were just like, nah.
What was your? What are you guys laughing at?
The joke I texted him.
Unfortunately, when he points at my phone, I know I shouldn't look at my phone, but then I do, and I regret it every single time.
Analyzing the NBA draft was all.
What's your Schlossnagel point or view?
Did
you cover it yesterday?
Yeah. I hope when he does his press conference that he apologizes.
I got a question for you on this. Did that the person that texted in all of the information, dude, were they accurate?
I haven't seen the length of the contract.
3 days ago, right?
So yeah, on Monday, somebody texted it. This is before game three of the College World Series. It was right after Texas had either fired their coach that day or the day before, and they go, hey, Schloss to Texas is already done. And I was like, oh, okay. And then they just kept following up. They're like, trust me, it's a 10-year deal worth $35 million. They've already signed it. And it went on, it was like had so much detail to it. So I haven't seen the numbers, but it really felt like that guy was in the loop. I get it. People leave schools, and leaving for your rival, that sucks. And he's a damn good coach. I just hope he says something to that media person, was like, hey, sorry.
Yeah.
You asked a totally fair question and I got caught and I didn't like it.
A college baseball reporter said that multiple sources had told him yesterday that the deal was done between A&M series with Georgia and the regional round.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's April 27th, Memorial Day, is okay. When the deal was completed.
Is it weird that I kind of like that a little bit more than the negotiation wasn't taking place prior to the College World Series finals? Like, I get your point, but that oddly makes me feel a little bit better.
I mean, these sort of things seem to happen so consistently. Like, we were talking about earlier, there's got to be a better pat answer to deliver in those press conference moments, because it's happened so many times.
Yeah.
I mean,
there is. We've heard it a million times. Not the time or place. We just suffered a tough loss. I'll address it moving forward.
So say that. Done. Say that. It's that easy.
That would be easy.
You can say that, and he didn't say that. But, I remember, I think I had told you at the time that 6 weeks before Jimbo Fisher was hired at Texas A&M, somebody told me Jimbo Fisher is getting hired at Texas A&M.
Right.
He was in the middle of still coaching for Florida State. They're like, it's done. His contract's done, and it's already set up. And
that's a good topic. What is the best Tolo intel they got proven correct?
Well, 2 weeks ago? When somebody the day before had told us, we got the text about Larry Allen.
Yeah.
Oh, that he had died before?
Yeah,
we got it on the fan text. We started texting the Cowboys and everything to try to confirm it. But
I
guess somebody was at the resort that he was at.
Did we ever get cause of death revealed?
No, I mean, I think it's just kind of, I've heard stuff. I don't want to say what it is, but I mean, it's, I think you can put together somebody of his age and stuff like that. What? Narrow it down pretty quickly.
We got a text.
He's only 8 years older than me, Bobby.
That somebody was like, hey, I was at this club and Johnny Manziel was there doing cocaine in the bathroom. But you get weird texts like that all the time with the rolled up dollar bills. And then that story was on TMZ 2 days later. And we're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, when we were weekends, we got pictures sent to us of Johnny Manziel smoking a bong or something like that. And I was like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, do I send it to TMZ or just whatever?
We got a Josh Hamilton text. The Sherlock's text. We got a Sherlock's text.
I don't remember.
Oh, that Hamilton?
Yeah. Next day.
Dude, the Tolos are great, man. The accuracy.
Day before the trade, and I mentioned it on the air at the time, but day before the Trey Lance trade, somebody had...
Never rat on us, though.
DM'd me on Twitter, and I didn't see it because it went into the requested messages folder, and they were like,
file.
The Cowboys are interested in Trey Lance. I was like, okay, that's random. I don't see anything here. And then, sure enough, it was 8 hours later, they traded for him.
All right, we'll turn it over to the fellas. We are back tomorrow morning to see what chaos happened in Kevin Hagelin's NBA draft round one. You think Bronny goes tonight?
No.
Okay. The KMC masterpiece is next, and then Rangers baseball right here on The Fan. Some don't, Ryan.
But I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I guess some people don't understand your humor. A lot. They don't understand that kind of humor. And I understood that humor. I appreciate that humor, but some people do, some people don't.
All right. We'll run through these last ones really quickly. All-time favorite show moment from your time working here.
Oh God. Okay, so this was, I had a, 2021, 2022 Carter had asked me to like save funny clips. That's because he wanted to put together a montage. And there was, so I was doing that like constantly, and I was going back and watching some of them. And there was one where like, RJ, you were talking about like your son's always twerking on you. And then you did it. That was probably the funniest thing. And I still go back to watch it because it is so hilarious. And against another one of you, RJ, when you said that you had like dropped a barbell on your toe.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I did, yeah. It was great. That it was a great funny. Time.
It was really
one of my favorite moments of all life.
Slapstick chop stuff. Can you remember a time for each one of us where we kind of pissed you off? Whether we said something on the air that you're like totally disagree with that, or you thought we were being smarmy or made a joke.
No, I don't think y'all have ever like actively gotten me mad. Like I don't think I've ever actually gotten mad at
any of y'all. Did you think you were going to survive here when you used to sleep in late starting off early on?
No. I thought the first time I got called into I thought I was going to get fired after the first two or three times.
When you were late, yeah.
Whose takes then on non-sports stuff? Whose takes do you find yourself disagreeing with the most? Like when we're talking about Ask Reddit or society or whatever. So are you like, "Yeah, don't think I get with that."
I don't know. I it might be you, Bobby.
I
don't know. I think so. But it's pretty hit
makes
or miss.
And last one, is there anything, because we know there is. Is there anything you've really wanted to say to or about Carter that you'd like to get off your chest right now? He's in the car. Actually, no. He gets in here at 10:30. He'll be getting in the car.
He turned his mic off. We'll do the final well goodbye. Done. We'll do bye, Rye, part two Carter. On Friday.
By the way, Sean. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Good job.
Yes, thank you, Sean.
Y'all earned it. Y'all earned it.
Thank you, Sean.
Let's crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece next. Crosstalk with the K and C Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Corey Majors. What's coming up?
Bruce Bochy will join us at 10:20 today. So everybody set your calendars or clocks. 10:20 today. Okay. And then at 11:20, I'm really looking forward to this. How a current Brewers player led us down the rabbit hole to a showgirl shooting and perhaps the most well-known home run in baseball history.
The story's amazing.
That's a hell of a title.
Brewers player.
Yes.
A showgirl shooting?
Shooting. Yes.
And the most famous home run
in baseball history.
Okay, well, Mike's one part of it. What's the rest?
Yeah.
Nope.
Exactly. We'll see where we go from there.
You have Choppy's interest. Pete.
11:20, my friend.
Brewers player.
All right. How prepared are you? How much do you know these guys being taken tonight and tomorrow?
Well, like a pretty decent amount.
Really?
Yeah.
Watch tape on all of them.
Because I like college basketball and I'm a nerd.
Okay. Who would you take one?
I would probably go Reisiker number one, but I realize there's been a lot of momentum for Sarr. And then obviously watch out for pick number three if they go Klingon from Utah.
Star Trek.
Not Klingon. Yeah. Oh. If Houston's going to try to make a trade for Durant. So I'm kind of interested to see how that goes. And if they take the kid from UConn, then maybe they'll deal Sengun. Not sure about that, but that's something to kind of watch.
Is this the worst possible year for them to debut the two-round telecast?
No.
Actually, I think Corey's right because of Bronny. Ooh. That's the weird thing, right? And plus, did you see it's running tomorrow at 3 p.m.?
No.
So yeah, it's in the middle of the afternoon. So it's what? They're not going prime time with this thing
because no network would give up that airtime.
Agreed. People don't like out of the top 10 picks, you might know like two of them. So this is a terrible name draft. But Corey's right. People will probably tune into the second round to see if and when I'm sure he'll get taken. Bronny goes.
The most anonymous or worst number one pick since who?
Anthony Bennett. And I will argue hard that Anthony Bennett is the worst number one pick in the history of the NBA draft. Because I know people like to throw out, you know, I don't know if you want to go Kwame or Olowokandi. They look like effing Bill Russell compared to what Anthony Bennett did in his career. Remember how soft that draft was? And people thought he was going to go six. And then he went one and people were like, the hell? And then within like 2 years, he was out of the league and he averaged 4 points. He was terrible. But that draft did still have Giannis.
What's the worst ever like overall draft though? Is it that one too?
That one's tough. 2000? Because you still got Giannis and Gobert out of that one. I'd have to go back and look. Is 2000 the Sharif Abdul-Rahim draft?
It was Kenyon Martin went one. And then,
that was 2000 with Martin.
Yeah, and then like Stromile Swift, Darius Miles, Marcus Fizer, Mike Miller, DeMar Johnson, Chris Mim.
Oh, that is.
I mean, Jamal Crawford in there.
Yeah.
Jamal McGlure.
Best player in that team, in that whole draft, was Michael Redd. That was in the 40s.
Okay, well, then, yes, that one is worse than 13.
All right, so this obviously does not apply to you, Kevin, because you're still interested, but around the room with the sporting event that has lost the most luster for you over the years.
And can I just point out, I 100% understand your perspective about the NBA draft being that sporting event. I totally get that.
And what do you think went wrong with it?
I mean, you didn't learn any of the names anymore, right? Because think about it.
Is it the colleges?
Yeah, it's the college.
The one done. So basically the foreigners.
It's
they gathered too many. They gathered the foreigners.
Like North Texas tennis.
Yeah. Not. Was that Peyton who said that?
Was Peyton, don't hate Peyton. Okay.
It's true, but
jeez. No, but I would also say, like, you know, whether it's Reed Shepard or Klingon or whoever else, you don't really know these people from college, even though they played at, like, big colleges because they were there for 5 seconds.
And the problem, too, for draft purposes with that UConn team, they were all, like, mid-tier producers.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have...
Right. So you didn't think Stephon Castle was like, oh, he's the best.
Right. Yeah.
It's all like,
it was like perfect team.
And for a lot of the UConn revamped a lot of their team. Right? So it's not like they all those guys were there for both years that are on that UConn team where they won the back-to-backs.
You guys, you'll be infuriated with my answer. I'm sorry. I just don't care. It's the Masters. I just don't.
Did you ever care though?
Nope.
Okay, well then you're not answering the question.
Oh, so it has to be something I used to care
lost
about.
Lost the luster.
Home Run Derby. It's the Home Run Derby.
Hard right here on 105.3 The Fan.
You might get mad about that look. I get it. It just doesn't need to be 74 hours long.
I agree with you.
It's shorter now.
Is it though?
Yes.
You think it's shorter, but it's still like 2:45.
Did you think removing Chris Berman would solve it for you?
Not necessarily.
Did it help or hurt?
I don't. Back. Can I say I neutral? Because I did like the back. And I think the timing idea is good.
And he was halfway through a bottle of tequila. You know,
that did help. That it's way, way
ripping
too
six
long.
There in the back. Berman.
What's your event?
Dunk contest. There was a time and 3-point contest. I was a big fan of those, and it did lose its luster along the way. It just has for some reason.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line.
And the NFL Pro Bowl.
Well, yeah, I never cared any All-Star game. Oh, not, the
I used to care about
games,
the Pro Bowl.
But I cared a lot about, didn't they do like a bunch of activities beforehand? Like they'd do some, they'd see who the fast guy was and strong guys and stuff like that. And that was fun. And they were just like, nah.
What was your, what are you guys laughing at?
The joke I texted him.
Unfortunately, when he points at my phone, I know I shouldn't look at my phone, but then I do, and I regret it every single time.
I was just analyzing the NBA draft was all.
What's your Schlossnagel point or view? Did you cover it yesterday?
Yeah. I hope when he does his press conference that he apologizes.
I got a question for you on this. Did that the person that texted in all of the information, were they accurate?
I haven't seen the length of the contract.
That was 3 days ago, right?
So yeah, on Monday, somebody texted it. This is before game three of the College World Series. It was right after Texas had either fired their coach that day or the day before, and they go, hey, Schloss to Texas is already done. And I was like, oh, okay. And then they just kept following up. They're like, trust me, it's a 10-year deal worth $35 million. They've already signed it. And it went, it was like, had so much detail to it. So I haven't seen the numbers, but it really felt like that guy was in the loop. I get it. People leave schools, and leaving for your rival, that sucks. And he's a damn good coach. I just hope he says something to that media person, was like, hey, sorry.
Yeah.
You asked a totally fair question, and I got caught, and I didn't like it.
A college baseball reporter said that multiple sources had told him yesterday that the deal was done between A&M series with Georgia and the regional round.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's April 27th and Memorial Day is when the deal was completed.
Is it weird that I like kind of like that a little bit more than the negotiation wasn't taking place prior to the College World Series finals? Like, I get your point, but that oddly like makes me feel a little bit better.
I mean, these sort of things seem to happen so consistently. Like, we were talking about earlier, there's got to be a better pat answer to deliver in those press conference moments because it's happened so many times.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
there is. We've heard it a million times. Not the time or place. We just suffered a tough loss. I'll address it moving forward.
So say that. Done. Say that. It's that easy.
That would be easy.
You can say that, and he didn't say that. But, like, I mean, I remember, I think I had told you at the time that 6 weeks before Jimbo Fisher was hired at Texas A&M, somebody told me Jimbo Fisher is getting hired at Texas A&M.
Right.
Like, he was in the middle of still coaching for Florida State. They're like, it's done. His contract's done, and it's already set up. And
that's a good topic. What is the best Tolo intel they got proven correct?
Well, 2 weeks ago? When somebody the day before had told us, we got the text about Larry Allen.
Yeah.
Oh, that he had died before?
Yeah,
we got it on the fan text. We started texting the Cowboys and everything to try to confirm it. But
Oh my gosh.
I guess somebody was at the resort that he was at.
Did we ever get cause of death revealed?
No, I mean, I think it's just kind of, I've heard stuff. I don't want to say what it is, but I mean, it's, I think you can put together like somebody of his age and stuff like that. What? Narrow it down pretty quickly.
We got a text.
He's only 8 years older than me, Bobby.
Years and years ago, that somebody was like, "Hey, I was at this club and Johnny Manziel was there doing cocaine in the bathroom." But you get weird texts like that all the time with the rolled up dollar bills. And then the story was on TMZ like 2 days later, and we're like, "Oh crap!"
Yeah, when we were weekends, we got pictures sent to us of Johnny Manziel smoking a bong or something like that. And I was like, "I don't know what to do with this. Like, do I send it to TMZ or just whatever?"
We got a Josh Hamilton text, the Sherlock's text. We got a Sherlock's text.
I don't remember.
Oh, that Hamilton?
Yeah. Oh. Next day.
Dude, the Tolos are great, man. Bringing the accuracy.
Day before the trade, and I mentioned it on the air at the time, but day before the Trey Lance trade, somebody had...
Never rat on us, though.
DM'd me on Twitter, and I didn't see it because it went into the... Like, it went into the requested messages folder, and
the
they were like...
file.
The Cowboys are interested in Trey Lance. I was like, okay, that's random. Like, I don't see anything here. And then, sure enough, it was like 8 hours later, they traded for him.
All right, we'll turn it over to the fellas. We are back tomorrow morning to see what chaos happened in Kevin Hagelin's NBA draft round one. You think Bronny goes tonight?
No.
Okay. The KMC Masterpiece is next, and then Rangers baseball right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.